Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
We got a guest ready to go.
Yeah.
Excited to talk to her. She's been in our studio before. She's played our MMRBQ. Was scheduled to play another one, but then the world
everything
went to what it is right now. This is great news because the new album comes out today. Death by Rock and Roll from the Pretty Reckless. Please welcome Taylor Momsen to the show. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning. Hello.
Hey. Hey, I have to ask Taylor, release day, your album comes out today. What kind of excitement do you feel on the day that it is actually available for everybody to get?
It's overwhelmingly exciting. I feel like we've been sitting on this record for like a little over a year now at this point. So it's actually kind of mind blowing to me that it's finally out and everyone can hear it. It's crazy.
So Who You Selling For came out in 2016. So we're talking about a long time. It's got to seem like an eternity for you, especially when you already had it in the can and ready to go for a year.
It does. I mean, in one way, it feels like we put out an album yesterday, and another way, it feels like I've lived 10 lifetimes since then. So I don't know. I just know I'm really, really proud of this album. I really think it might be the best record we've ever made, and I'm just so, so happy to finally be able to share it.
You know, it's interesting, and you talk about that, and obviously planning for it and COVID and all this sort of stuff, but I think in a way, having it come out when people need new music the most, and something to entertain them when things are a little bit tougher and maybe psychologically tougher for a lot of people, that might be, an unforeseen benefit of this. And knowing that you're contributing to something that is going to distract and entertain people and give them something to pay attention to other than the stuff surrounding them.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been living in such hard times in the recent, in recent times, obviously. So I really hope that this, even though it's titled Death by Rock and Roll, at the core, this album is actually a very hopeful record. And so I hope that it can bring some solace and some joy to people who might need it right now. Because can't we all use a little bit more hope and a little bit more rock and roll?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking a more apropos title might be Saved by Rock and Roll, but I understand the title. But I mean, because, and listen, you've been doing a lot of interviews lately in preparation for this. You've been talking a lot about the darkness that has taken place over the last several years with the death of your producer Kato, with obviously the Chris Cornell tragedy that took place. And is it hard? I know you've had time to come to terms with those things, but is it difficult to be constantly talking about that stuff right now?
Sometimes. It depends on the day. I feel like wounds like that, they never fully heal. They just become a part of you, and it's something that they're like scars, they're always going to be with me at this point, but I've grown into them in a different way. So some days it hits a little hard, but overall we're in a much better place. And there's no way to talk about this album without talking about Kato. So it comes to territory.
You know, when it starts to happen is, emotionally it starts to blister over. And I think what you start to do it becomes for me, anybody I've ever lost in my life who's meant a lot, there comes a point at which the pain will always be there to some extent, but then you can enjoy the knowledge that by talking about them and celebrating them, you're in effect keeping them alive, keeping them.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's a gift. And
it's an entire gift. And that's really what this record does. I mean, even though Kato is no longer with us, Chris is no longer with us, everyone we've lost is no longer here. This album is very much it kind of memorializes them in one way. And that's so important to me. And I really think it shows the power of music, of how, even though they're not physically here on this earth anymore, their memory will forever live on.
Hey, I want to thank you because you liked one of my tweets. I did a drum cover of Death by Rock and Roll because they're so
good. Yes, awesome.
Thank you. It had those great big drum breaks in it. And I'm like, oh, I got to get my hands on this. So thank you. That made my year seeing that
Thank you for covering it. You did a fantastic job. And those drum breaks are really fun. I air drum to them all the time.
Hey, you know what? How was it hard to get started to write this album way back when you began this, when you were crawling back out of, the emotions that you were going through from all the things that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think I spent a lot of time actually kind of shunning music from my life where everything was too painful to listen to. Everything brought back a memory. And I got to a place where I found myself really needing it, the same way I need food and water and oxygen. And so when I kind of opened that allowed myself to kind of open that gate or whatever you want to call it. And I finally picked up a guitar. This record really just kind of poured out of me in this very cathartic way. Like it was like a dam bursting or something. It just flooded out whether I wanted it to or not. This record was actually written kind of differently than a lot of our previous work. Cause normally you're searching for inspiration. And in this case, it had smacked me in the face like a brick and I couldn't get away from it whether I wanted to or not, you know?
You know what? It's interesting that the music, you know, and we're playing Death by Rock and Roll. And So It Went right now on MMR. And, with your stuff, and this is the ultimate compliment. When I hear your songs, it's like, to me, they sound like songs I've been enjoying for a long time. But you know what I'm saying? There is a complete easy entry into it. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but it feels comfortable and correct, and it has such a straight ahead rock feel to it that it's like, yeah, okay, here we go. And there's no, you know, let me regard this. Let me think about this. And that's a hard thing to pull off.
Well, thank you. I mean, I always aim to make every record we make better than the last one. You know, that's if you're not moving forward and progressing as an artist, then, you know, stop. So, thank you. I mean, I think my goal is always to create something that can be timeless, you know, and live on for eternity and live on long after I'm no longer here, you know.
Steve had mentioned in So It Went, you've got Tom Morello playing the guitar solo on that. When recording that, I'm assuming you were there for that particular part of the session. I'm sure you just, I mean, Tom's a genius. He absolutely reinvented what you could do with that instrument. And you'll just let him do what he wants to do. But did you give any input or just say, Tom, you do your magic?
Kind of just said, come do your thing, man. Like, what are you going to tell that guy? He's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I wasn't calling him to have him be someone else. I was calling him for his specific sound that is so unique to him. Because I just thought that his voice and what he does with the guitar would really add an element to And So It Went that we couldn't deliver on ourselves, by ourselves. And I was right. I mean, he comes in just wailing and it's awesome. And when we put the whole thing together, it did exactly what I thought it was going to do. And, I owe him one. Thanks, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a couple other, listen, your core band, obviously they're the heartbeat of it all, but when you invite other people along to assist, it's noteworthy. And you had some biggies. You had, Matt Cameron, from Pearl Jam and, Kim Thayil from Soundgarden. What tracks are they on and how did that, collaboration come into being?
They both play on a song called Only Love Can Save Me Now, which is one of my favorites on the record. I'm not supposed to say that, but it is. we developed a relationship. They're very dear friends of mine. And when I finished writing that song, it made a lot of musical sense to me to ask them to be a part of it. I just thought that they would add this, you know, that incredible kind of weight and unparalleled musicianship that they have and no one else does. Like they have a magic going on there. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And when I finished writing it, I sent them a demo and called them and was like, hey guys, would you want to be a part of this? And they said yes, and it was an incredible experience. We actually recorded that in Seattle at London Bridge Studios, which is where, you know, Soundgarden made Louder Than Love and Pearl Jam made 10 and Alice in Chains made Dirt. So just getting to walk into that studio alone, you could just feel the energy of all those records, like just bleeding out of the walls. And so to not only be there, but then to be there with Matt and Kim creating something new after so much, you know, tragedy and crap over the past few years was just a very, very beautiful experience. And honestly, the first time Matt hits a snare and the first note that Kim plays, the song just came to life. Like it was unbelievable to hear it come out of the speakers for the first time. It was phenomenal.
Right.
I'm really happy for you in particular that people like Kim and Matt and Tom are on board for the reason because of some of the uphill battle that you've had to face. You know, you started off as a child actor, and then you have to fight these battles to get out of a stereotype that you're not a musician, you're an actor, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And to seeing these legitimate, you know, titans in the world of current rock music getting on board and saying she is legitimate, this band is legitimate, is a very big thing for you. So I'm really happy for you, and I'm sure that's not lost on you because, you know, you've I'm sure faced a lot of criticism in the early part of your career.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a fair share of doubters in the beginning, you know, but we've been a band for I don't know, what has it been, like 12, 13 years now? We formed in 2008. It's too early. You do the math. But so, you know, we're on our fourth album, and I think that, you know, the only way to kind of get doubters to not doubt you is you can't argue with them. You just have to do it. And,
yeah.
You know, that's really the test of time will prove that. And so I think that we're at a very good place in our career where I think, you know, at least I hope the majority of people now know me from the band
right.
and not my childhood.
Yeah, but I you know what I mean? There are still people that will hang on to something forever and not let it go. You know what I mean?
But there's always going to be those people in
yeah.
life. And those are just the people you kind of kick over your shoulder and go, okay, you don't get it.
That's true. That's a very healthy approach.
Now, I'm excited to track the whole album. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. It comes out today, by the way. But there is a song that I wanted to point out, if people haven't heard it yet, called 25. And you do this, the coolest thing, in the bridge section where the song takes a left turn and it is so Beatlesque. It is so cool. I don't know if that was your intention or not. And obviously, you know, you're not ripping off other musicians. But, I mean, hey, everybody's influenced by the Beatles.
Of course.
But that's what I get from that. Was that any influence from that group?
Well, thank you. I mean, first of all, the Beatles are always an influence. I mean, they were the first band I ever heard when I was a kid and the first band I fell in love with. Like, I credit the Beatles as the reason I play rock and roll. Like, they're the reason I started writing songs in the first place. So, of course, they're an influence. How can they not be? I think they're an influence on every musician, rock and roll or not. Like, they did everything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not necessarily a direct rip-off or anything, because I don't really think of music like that, but to have, you know, but the Beatles is always kind of flowing through my mind, so of course.
But it's such a cool, almost George Martin type of moment in that song, you know?
Thank you. Wow, that's a very high compliment.
Love it.
Taylor, you mentioned Chris Cornell earlier, and I'm really curious as to whether working with Matt Cameron and Kim Thayil was cathartic, because you've all worked with Chris, you all love and respect him. And then you got together and got to jam. Was it was his memory there as you were doing it, or was it just something where it was a more of a coincidence?
I mean, I don't think his memory will ever fade. I think, you know, that's kind of the beauty of music and you know, especially surrounding yourself with people who knew him and loved him. And, like, I think that I don't want to speak for Matt and Kim because that's not my place. But for me, at least, it was a very full circle moment that was just unparalleledly beautiful, like to be in the studio creating something new together after all this hell was just incredible.
Hey, Taylor, I've always wanted to ask a musician, I don't think I ever have asked this, but when you're either writing, recording, whatever may have you, whatever the creative process is that leading to the final project, you know, obviously you're working with producers, you're working with fellow musicians, your bandmates, people that are in the industry. Do you ever bounce any stuff off of people that aren't involved in the industry at all?
Sometimes, yeah. I have a couple close friends that they're not in the industry, but I've known my whole life. A couple family members and things. So sometimes, yeah. I don't really bounce things off people that often. Like, I have a pretty good sense of when something's good or not. So I kind of try to just stick to my guns with that. Like, you know, as a songwriter, when, you know, you write a lot of bad songs before you write good ones. So when you write a good one, you go, ooh, that's a gem. You know, it's
yeah.
like a little gift.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. How about when you are listening to the recorded tracks? Do you like to sit in the studio with those big, professional, awesome speakers that are going to make it sound fantastic? Or do you go and listen to it in the car and check it out there?
Both.
Yeah.
Both are equally awesome. I think, you know, when we're finishing the album and working on the album, you listen on the massive, you know, sound system, and it's awesome. And then when you finish the record, or at least it's to a point where it's almost at completion, that's when I put it on in the car and, you know, drive around listening to it, because that's where you can really kind of gauge what it's going to feel like when it's out. You know, like, my favorite thing is getting in the car and listening to rock radio. So, or records, but rock radio in particular. Like, I love flicking channels and I'll drive around for hours. So it's actually, I think in one way, it's almost the most fun to listen to in the car.
You know, since the, you'd mentioned that the album has a positive message, and there's, you know, there's hope, and that's always obviously what we strive for. So as we've gone through all of this pandemic nonsense and all this stuff that we've been dealing with, Has there been something on the technical side or on the way that you're making music side that you think will port out of this and it will be something you'll continue to do on the other side?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I've certainly started writing a lot, because just there's nothing else to do.
Right.
But I've almost had to kind of stop myself from getting too far ahead of myself, because once I go down that rabbit hole of writing, then, you know, I'll be on to the next record, and Death by Rock and Roll has just come out today. So
yeah. Right.
I had to kind of halt myself there for a moment.
Right. But for many artists, that's a good problem to have, being prolific.
Well, it's a different mindset. And once I go down that rabbit hole, I'll mentally already moved on, and I'm still very much living in Death by Rock and Roll right now. So right. I had to kind of put a pause on that for the moment, for the time being.
Normally by release time, yeah, your touring plans are routed and ready to go, and you guys are rehearsing and getting set to get out on the road. What's in the camp? What's the discussion right now about being able to support the record? I mean, is it, have you set dates way down in the future, or are you just kind of holding off and waiting?
Oh man, it's such weird times. It's crazy. We've put tentative plans in motion, but we've been putting tentative plans in motion since the beginning of 2020. So, yeah. who knows, honestly, at this point. I'm fingers crossed that touring comes back sooner than later, though, because I'm dying to get back on that stage and play these songs live. Like, it's so weird to me that just releasing the first single, Death by Rock and Roll, and having that come out and go number one, which, thank you guys, by the way, was insane and, like, incredibly rewarding. But it baffles me that we had a number one song and we've never played it live in front of an audience.
That's a mind blower.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly hoping that live shows come back sooner than later, because it's as much as I love playing acoustic guitar at home and, in my bedroom, I really miss electricity at this point. I miss the fans. Like, I miss the whole thing. So
yeah, well, we miss it, too. I mean, on the receiving end, we thoroughly miss attending these live events and listening to all the hard work that you've put in. And speaking of acoustic guitar, I sat down with mine last night and I wanted to ask you what your favorite Catholic school hymn was, because I was singing Catholic school songs last night, and I just read in your bio that you actually went to Catholic grade school. So what is your favorite Catholic grade school song of all time?
Oh my God, I hate all of them.
what did you cover, Casey? What
I did
playing?
Last night, I did I Am the Bread of Life, but you got Here I Am, Lord, and Ave Maria. I wasn't sure if you had your first Friday Mass, and, the kids didn't really want to be there, but when it came time for the singing, it was my memory, the entire congregation was singing.
Sure. I mean, I had to go to Mass, it wasn't just Friday. I mean, I had to go to church, it was like 3 or 4 times a week, so I was a little over it by that point.
Right. Your playlist was expended.
Yeah, some memories are fonder than others.
Ave Maria is a beautiful song, and actually, some of those church hymns, the musicality of them is actually quite exquisite. So, I won't insult the songs.
But the overall experience.
I don't think that following an organized religion never really worked for me.
So we're not going to get a Catholic school song cover album from you anytime soon.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't put money down on that.
They could change the name of the band to Pretty Religious.
Yes. Yeah.
Or Pretty Catholic.
Yeah, maybe if this is a big failure, we'll become a Christian.
Nice. Well, listen, we are excited for you. I know you were on the books to play our MMRBQ last year. We're gonna hopefully have you at another one down the road. And it's just exciting to see you and your band play live. But we're, in the meantime, enjoying this brand new set of music from Death by Rock and Roll. Congratulations on all
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, in lieu of concerts, we all got speakers.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Taylor Momsen, everybody. Take care. Yep. It's great music. The song 25 is a completely different vibe than this straight up rock. That's why I brought it up. It gets into this break that sounds so much like the Beatles.
Do you have a bit of it?
I don't. I didn't ask Marissa to isolate it or anything like that, but it's some good stuff. So, all right, listen, we got to take a break, I've been told, so we're going to do that very thing.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.